great instruction at the end of this book for Christians in their desire to go on with God. So look, we're going to be looking at chapter verse 14. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. We looked at that. And now we're carrying on in that verse. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So that's the subject this morning, the breastplate of righteousness. Normally I have about 3 points. I've got five. That doesn't mean it's going to be a longer sermon. It's just shorter points, just so you know. 5 points. Every part of this section counts. Every part of this section counts. Second point, we have to make sure that we're focusing on the meaning and not the metaphor. It's all about armor and stuff like that, and boys, they like to play with guns and all the rest of it, you know. But it's the meaning that we have to keep our attention on, okay? We're not talking about dressing up in swords. We're talking about getting it stuck in a spiritual conflict. And thirdly, this is a matter of the heart, especially the breastplate of righteousness. The first 2 points are general points. These other three are more specifically to this breastplate of righteousness, and it's a matter of the heart. It protects your heart. It covers this part of your body. Fourthly, and essentially, what will guard your heart is trusting Christ completely and absolutely. That's what will guard your heart. And finally, that doesn't mean that then we have no responsibility to do what is right. We still have to do what is right. Okay, let's pray, and then I'm going to share this passage with you. Father, thank you. Thank you for this gathering. Thank you for the people here. Thank you that each one is known to you and dear to you. Thank you that you've given us so many signs and tokens of your love. Even in just bringing us together today is a sign that you would speak to us and give us opportunity to hear you speaking. Open our hearts, Lord. Open our thoughts, open our minds, Lord, that we might receive the ingrafted word. And Lord, having heard, let us not be those foolish people who hear and then don't act on what they've heard. But Lord, just completely delude themselves that hearing in itself is the end. It's not, it's the beginning. Help us to do what you're saying to your church. Help us to put these things into practice. Help me when I speak. Help each one as they listen. And Lord, not just this, help us to hang on to your word. Hang on to your word. To treasure it up in our hearts. To make use of the instruction that you give us. To put these things into practice. To make this our life. So we ask for help, Father, because you know us, each one. You know our weaknesses and our tendencies. How forgetful, how slack we can be. Stir us up, Lord, by your Spirit. Help us all, we pray, in Jesus' name this morning. Amen. The breastplate of righteousness. So let's just remind ourselves for a moment what this whole section is all about. This whole section, at the end of this letter, having made all these various observations and comments and encouragements and given these teachings, he wants Christians to stand. He wants Christians to make a stand. And that stand, I think you can divide it into two specific ways. It's to stand for Christ against evil. Okay? For Christ against evil. So there's a two sides to the stand. And Christians are being summoned by the word through the apostle to make their stand. To make their stand. And as we're going through this armor, all these different parts of the armor, please don't forget what the function and purpose of all this is about. What's this all for? So you can stand. So you can stand for Christ, and so you can face down evil as it appears. That's the two sides to this, but it's all about the stand. Let me just remind you, we've realized that this section, which includes these various parts of armor, is divided into two separate lists. There are two separate lists. Each list contains three items. The first list contains the belt, the breastplate, and the shoes. the belt, the breastplate, and the shoes. First list. Then there's a little interruption, and the second list ensues: the shield, the helmet, the sword. The shield, the helmet, and the sword. Two lists. But the first list is the foundations upon which the second list is built. The first one becomes before the second one. It's not random. It's for a reason. It's for a purpose. He's building up to a point. He wants to make a final point. He's laying the groundwork to make a very profound statement. And it's at the end, and it's about the sword, isn't it? That's the ultimate thing he wants to talk to the Christians about, is using their swords, which is the Word of God. Having a robust and kind of capable, a capability with the sword, with the Word of God. Capable with the Word. That's what he wants people to be in the end, right? And to use it, and to be ready to use it. So that's what he's working himself up to saying. Because you'll notice of the two lists, of the six items, five of them are defense, as they say in America, and one of them is offense, as they say in America, right? One offensive item, the sword, the last thing. All the other five are defense, right? Defense. And ultimately, he's building up this argument about the importance of having a principled and robust defense of Christ to withstand evil as it presents itself, but ultimately to go on the offense and to take ground, to move forwards, to take ground. So that's the kind of the structure of what he's saying. But we need to be careful here, because there is a bit of a tendency to cut to the chase. You know, I think now if you watch films, any of you watch films, they're getting faster and faster, the editing gets faster, you don't get the build-up, you don't get the plot, you don't get the character development, you just get the explosions. Come straight to the explosions. But we can't be like that. These other five items mentioned first are there for a reason. We need to give them proper attention. If these things are not established properly, the final thing, the sixth thing, the use of the word, we will fail. We will not be successful in what we want to be, what we're called to achieve here. You see there in the beginning of each of those three items from verse 14, stand therefore, having fastened on, then it, just as it goes on about the breastplate, having put on the breastplate and shoes, having put on, the assumption is that you will do these things before you even try to do these other things. You are going to make progress. You're going to build up to this. You're going to want to do this, but you're going to go through the stages and the steps to achieve that point, to get to that point. In other words, before you go in and attack, you make sure you are defending well. Get your defenses sorted out before you go in and make your first lunge. So be prepared, be prepared. Superman is the only person who has a license to put his undies on over his trousers, right? The rest of us, it's the other way around, right? Let's get the foundations in place before we go shooting off around the world. It says here, put on the whole armor. The whole armor. Not cut to the chase and pick up the sword. Right? Put it all on. Put it all on. And that's what we're going to give some attention to this morning. So every item needs attention, and the order is significant and needs our attention. First point, every part counts. Okay? First point, every part counts. So, we are now going to look at the second item in the second list, which follows after the belt of truth, which is the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. There's that list, and we've got to remind ourselves that the breastplate, the belt, the shoes, they are a metaphor. Do you know what I mean by a metaphor? Does everybody know what a metaphor is? They're a metaphor. What we have to focus on and make sure we have grasped is not the metaphor, but what the metaphor means. That's the purpose, isn't it? We don't want to get so caught up in the arm a bit that we forget what this is actually all about. The spiritual attributes that the apostle is encouraging each Christian to have obtained and laid hold on and have fixed onto themselves in their Christian life so that they can stand. If you were here last week, was it last week I spoke on the belt of truth? It was. Seems like a million years ago. Anybody think it's been a busy week? Last week, if what you remember from last week is me talking about a belt, then I failed. I hope last week you went away with truth as the important thing. Truth, precious truth, as the important thing. The importance of truth. And this week, if you come away thinking about metal and armor and stuff like that, I will have felt, I want you to walk out of this door, please God, thinking about the preciousness of righteousness, the value of righteousness. That's my aim. There's something in us, isn't it, that gets excited about the armor and the weapons. And I mentioned it already. There's kind of boys go off. I went paintballing. I did. It was market research. It was research for the sermon. I went, off to do a bit of paintballing just to get in the zone. Wow, that took a long time to land, didn't it? But, it was almost all boys. Almost all lads out there pulling the trigger. The girls were there, did very well, it has to be said. But it was mostly boys. And there is a tendency to get interested in all that side of things. The helmet, the sword, and all this sort of thing. We're talking about righteousness. And I would love to think that the men, the grandfathers, the fathers, the sons, the boys are as concerned and preoccupied with righteousness in our country, hungering and thirsting for righteousness in our country. We've got to pray. We have to pray. This is really, really important stuff because you can only do so much with a gun. Really. But righteousness, that exalts a nation, we read in the book of Proverbs. Righteousness will exalt and lift up a nation. We need righteousness. Truth, righteousness, and readiness. Those are the three things in this second list. It's not, in the end, breastplate, belt, and shoes. It's about truth and righteousness and readiness. Readiness. Those are the important things, okay? We need those things in place before we're taking up faith, salvation, and the word. We'll start with a metaphor. We're going to look at the breastplate, but I want you to concentrate on the meaning. I want to get to the meaning. I want to talk about righteousness. That's my second introductory point is now complete. Point three. The breastplate. Let's talk about the breastplate. So the breastplate, it's obvious to say, protects the upper part of the body. Protects the upper part of the body. And those of you who have an upper part of your body will know that it's where all the soft, squishy stuff is and the vital organs, your hearts, your lungs, your guts, all that stuff, right? Contained in the upper part. And I want you to notice as well, this breastplate covers the front of your body. It covers the front. It covers all the soft, squishy bit at the front and protects it. And for those of you who don't believe I went paintballing, I don't know if you can see it from back there, but I got a bruise there, I've got another one there. I've got a really couple of nasty ones here and there. I've got a few down here on my legs as well. But I haven't got one here on the front of my body. Not one. Because they provide you with body armor. And I put it on. And I don't have any bruises there. So Paul's saying, put it on, put it on. It will protect you. It works. It works. And my body is testimony. Put on the armor. And I'll tell you something else, that how it affects you. When you've got this armor on, how it affects you as you go forward, as you go out into a conflict, as you go out into a situation where you've got stuff coming at you, if you're protected here, instead of spending your whole time doing this all the time and kind of cowering and protecting yourself, you're bold. Because I don't mind if you hit me here. Because I'm covered. I can go forwards. I can make my stand. I can face you. And that has a very dynamic effect on how you behave on your muddy playing battlefield. You know that the vital and vulnerable aspects are covered. The Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. Have you read that verse? The righteous are as bold as a lion. You're covered. You can face. You can get out there. You can be fearless because you know you're protected. But here's a warning. If you're protected and you're bold, one thing you mustn't do is don't turn around. Don't head back. Don't run away. Because when you run away, you've got nothing covering your back at all. You're better off making your stand and being protected and taking the heat and taking the pressure. You're better protected than turning tail and running. It won't save you. The armor will save you. The armor will protect you. So stand, don't turn back. And I want to remind you again that this whole vision that Paul has of the breastplate of righteousness comes from his reading. Commentators have said, look, he's there in prison, there's a Roman soldier there, he's looking at the way the Roman soldier is dressed, and maybe he did and maybe he didn't. But I think more importantly, Paul is a man of the Bible, isn't he? Right? He's a man who knows the Word of God. He's quoting it all the time. He reads from Isaiah. I think it's the most frequently quoted book in the New Testament. Isaiah, Isaiah, Isaiah. And he has read Isaiah. And if you turn to chapter 59 with me for a few moments in verse 17, we'll see the exact reference that he is picking up on. You can almost tell what Paul has been having for breakfast, what Bible study he did that morning before he wrote this part of the letter. He sees this vision. Isaiah was a prophet who saw visions of God. And he sees this vision of God. He sees God. He had several times when he said, I saw the Lord. Do you remember that? Chapter 6 of Isaiah, I saw the Lord. Chapter 59, he sees the Lord. He sees the Lord, and he sees the Lord dressed for battle. He sees the Lord dressed for battle. Isaiah 59. Okay, am I right? Verse 17, you there? And he's dressed for this battle. And it's going to be a battle in which the Lord is going to right the wrongs of the past. It's a battle of retribution. He's going to set the books right. And not only that, he is going to reestablish respect for his name. So in this battle, he's going to right wrongs. He's going to restore respect and honor, the respect and honor of his name. And thirdly, it is a battle for redemption. He is going to save his people. Three things he's going to achieve in the battle. He's going to right wrongs, he's going to restore the honor of his name, and he's going to redeem his people. Let's read it, chapter 59, verse 17. He put on righteousness as a breastplate. Do you see that there? And a helmet of salvation upon his head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing and wrapped himself in zeal as a cloak. And according to their deeds he will repay. wrath to his adversaries, repayment to his enemies, to the coastland he will render repayment. So they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. For he will come like a rushing stream, which the wind of the Lord drives, and a redeemer will come to Zion, and those in Jacob who turn from transgression, declares the Lord. You see the connection between that passage and what we're reading? God's campaign. And Paul has been stirred up by this, and he is expressing that hope that the church would don their armor and join him. That you'd follow him into battle. That you'd take up his cause. That you play your part. That you do your bit and go on this campaign to see wickedness overcome, truth established, the honor of God's name in the earth, and salvation for his people. So Paul is calling his people at that time to stand. We hear those words ourselves today. It's in this context, isn't it, in Ephesians, this spiritual battle, this spiritual conflict, evil forces, wicked schemes, and Christians making their stand. I know I'm going around in circular point, but I think I hope I'm laying a firm foundation for you on this subject. No turning back, no fear, knowing we are protected and equipped to make this stance, and in the fullness of time, even to advance. It's about courage. That's, I think, my third point. I'm bringing up a matter of the heart. It's about your heart, isn't it? It's about guts. It's about having guts as a Christian. It's about having courage. It's about being bold. It's about being a forward-facing people. It's about confidence, Christian confidence. It's about your hearts. Lion hearts. You know, isn't it? This is about the heart. So, fourthly, the heart then. And this matter of righteousness. We talked about the breastplate. Let's talk about righteousness. We did a survey in the village not so long ago. And we asked people about whether they believed in God and who they thought Jesus was and whether they thought they'd go to heaven. Our survey said, that sifts out the generations, doesn't it? Who laughed? Who did you? What? Overwhelmingly, people said they believed in God. Overwhelmingly, people had a positive view of Jesus. Even if they didn't think he was the Son of God, they had a kind of a positive view of Jesus. And as when you came to the subject of heaven, most people said, do you think you're going to heaven? I hope so. That was the number one answer in our survey. Our survey said, I hope so. And when you pressed that question, what is your hope based in? What's your hope based on? Everybody said pretty much the same thing. If I'm good enough, that should make us want to weep. That means that the overwhelming majority of people in our near vicinity do not get the gospel. They don't understand it. They haven't rejected the gospel. They don't know what the gospel is. They haven't understood it. They think in some way that being justified, being righteous, is about doing the right thing. Doing the right thing. As opposed to being declared righteous by God as a sovereign act of mercy through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, in which your own personal righteousness has no part whatsoever in terms of your standing before the throne of God and the open doors of heaven and life eternal and joy forevermore. That is the how far the people in broad terms are from understanding the truths and the glories of the gospel. There is a huge gulf. There's a huge gulf. Doing the right thing is the common view. If I'm good enough, I'll be protected. I'll be protected. If I'm good enough, that's my righteousness. That's my breastplate. That's what keeps my heart in shape. I will only be as bold about God and things like that as my own works, my own righteousness allows me. So if I've been good today, I will be a little bit more outspoken and positive. If I haven't been, I'm going to be more reticent and withdrawn. I can do this today, if you're trusting yourself, because I said my prayers this morning. I could do this today because I gave up my seat for somebody on the bus. I can approach God today on that basis. I can face evil in the world on that basis. This fluctuating market of your own personal righteousness. Lots of people think it's true, that it's all about themselves. Let's listen to Paul. Let's listen to Romans. Let's go there, chapter 3 and verse 21. Really, really clear passage of Scripture, Paul teaching on righteousness. Prick up your ears. Chapter 3, verse 21 of the Epistle to the Romans. On the subject of righteousness. You found your place. Now, the righteousness of God has been manifest apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. The righteousness of God, faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there's no distinction. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and we are justified, that's declared righteous, by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation, that's a sacrificial offering, by His blood, by Christ's blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He's passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time, so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. If you have faith in Jesus, you are righteous. That's it. It's that clear. It's in black and white here in God's word. That is righteousness. Righteousness, faith in Jesus Christ, justified by God's grace as a gift through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus by His blood to be received by faith. It's not your works, it's His works. His works. That's righteousness. So there's your breastplate. There's your breastplate, and it's made of some mighty stuff. Righteousness through faith in Jesus and His finished work. That's what can make you bold. That's what will make you bold when this whole thing rests on Him. If it's resting on you, you will fluctuate. You'll go up and down like this. If it rests on Him, you'll shine. You'll stand. You'll be able to stand. Because it's Him that is protecting your life. It's him who's protecting you from the ravages of sin. It's him who's protecting you from the schemes of the devil. It's him who will get you into heaven. It's him. And that will protect your heart. That will protect your heart. Given a choice, you go into battle wearing the tissue paper of your own righteousness, or the breastplate of God's righteousness. It's no choice. It's no real choice at all, is it? It's a self-evident fact. Put on Christ. Trust Christ. Trust Christ. If you trust Christ, you will be able to stand. Trust Him with your whole heart. It's the grace of God and His perfections, the perfections of Jesus, His finished work that guards the Christian's heart. All right? Fourth point there. Trust in Christ. That's righteousness. That's righteousness. Trust in Christ alone. Yes? That's the gospel. There's a lot of people who don't know the gospel. They don't get the gospel. Somebody, can we just explain the gospel? Do you think we could make it known? Get the word out. Let people know. Tell someone. Tweet it. Whatever. Let's set the record straight. This is righteousness. It's not about trusting ourselves. It's about trusting Christ. Simple. Right. Lastly. I love the gospel. I love the gospel. And the gospel of God's grace is good news. It's good news. But I want to clarify one thing that this doesn't mean. This one thing that it doesn't mean. I want you to look with me, if you're back in Ephesians chapter 4. So this is just a little bit before the passage that we've been reading. Just backing up a little bit before into Paul's arguments to the Ephesians, talking to the Ephesians about the way that they're living their lives. And he has been talking to them about their need to remember the gospel. They're slipping, and they need to remember the gospel. So if you've got it in front of you, he says to them, and this is the argument about righteousness that builds up to the bit we're reading in Ephesians 6, verse 14 about the breastplate of righteousness. He says to them, and put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Do you see that verse there? I hope if you've got another translation, you have something similar. Put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Righteousness and holiness. I think we need to remember that the letter to the Ephesians is written not essentially as a book for evangelism, to teach the world that doesn't know the gospel what the gospel is, not first and foremostly. It was written to the church, to believers who were backsliding, who were unclear or unfirm about these things. That's the purpose of the letter. And he's saying to them, they've got to put on their new selves. It's as if somehow they've taken it off again. They've become Christians, and now they're sort of standing down rather than maintaining their positions. Put on the new self, he says, created after the likeness of God. Let's remember these backsliding Christians, he's reminded them at the beginning of the letter that they're saved by grace. That's the gospel. We've talked about that, yes? He's reminded them about that. But Paul wants them to live lives that more faithfully reflect this gift of righteousness that they have received. That there's something about their lifestyles that is not really conforming to the goodness of the gospel. And he's addressing that matter with them. He says to them, put on the new self. Put on the new self. In the same way, he's saying to them at this in chapter 6, put on the full armor. Can you see there's a comparison? Put on the new self, put on the full armor. It's as if they've taken something off or stepped something back. And he's encouraging them to get back into it. Get back into it. This full armor, truth, righteousness, holiness, that reflects very much what we're reading in Ephesians 4. Truth, righteousness, holiness. Very similar comparisons between chapter 4 and chapter 6. He talks about the new self in God's likeness. I think we call that godliness, don't we? Like God. He wants people to be godly. Don't you love it when you meet somebody who's godly? Isn't it a blessing? It's such a refreshing, isn't it, when you meet somebody really godly? He's preaching and teaching on the importance of godliness, and God's armor is to be dressed like God, isn't it? As Isaiah saw him. There's a godliness theme here. He's talking about godliness. And I want just to clarify that godliness is not the same as imputed righteousness. I don't mean to be technical about this, but we've been talking about the gospel, how God gives you his righteousness as a free gift. And we've, by faith, got to put it on and trust in Christ and Christ alone. That is our imputed righteousness. But godliness is another subject. It's about your sanctification. It's about you being changed in your character, in your person, in your conduct, in your behavior, in your whole lifestyle, in a manner that becomes more and more like God. You become more godly. The reformation of your character, so that you better reflect God's truth by the way that you live. By the way that you live. You become, if you can put it like this, a better witness, a more effective witness. And if we go back in our minds, don't have to turn there to God's righteousness as described there in Isaiah 59, what does God go out to do? He sets wrongs right. He sets wrongs right. So godliness, if you want to be like God, set the wrongs right. We also see that God goes about establishing the honor and the glory of his name. Godliness, are we to set about to establish the honor of God's name? He goes out to save his people. Godliness would be to be part of the process of God, going about to seek salvation for the lost. Those are godly characters. They're like God. God's doing it. Are we? Are we? It's the same way that the belt of truth, we said it was about the truth of the gospel, the trustworthiness and authenticity of the gospel. But it also gave us a message about the importance of being truthful people. And in the same way here, righteousness is about the righteousness of God in the gospel, that free gift. But it's also about Christian people doing the right things with their lives. Making the right kind of decisions. So there's a call here for godliness too, isn't there? And what will happen is if you turn your back on the gospel, or you turn your back on godliness, what's going to happen? You are going to get absolutely pelted. You've got no defense on your back. Don't turn your back on the gospel. Don't turn your back on godliness. Put them on and stand. That's the best defense. The best defense. We don't want to make a stand which gets compromised by us being known as untruthful people. Wouldn't that compromise our witness? If people said, they keep going on about this and that, but they're all liars. Wouldn't that be dreadful? And if, in the same way, is if we're going on about God's righteousness, but honestly, the way they live their lives, is shocking. That'd be terrible, wouldn't it? For the honor of his name. For the honor of his name. Let's put it on. Let's put it on. So this morning, as I close, to those who would stand, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Be bold. Know you're justified. And be good. Be good. Doing the right thing is not an optional extra. Do what is right. I'm going to leave it there. I think we need to take stock. Let's sing God's praises and seek the Lord. Here's that gospel confidence to rehearse again. Our hope built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Our goodness, our righteousness, that will never save us. That'll never save us. But it's not something to throw off. Let's put it on. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.